Kurvosa Gurvach. Hope all is good. Today's daf is Bavakama daf Nun Ches. And apologies for not recording for a couple of days. Was battling, I think it was strep, not sure. Antibiotics, we're all good. Baruch Hashem. And we're here on Nun Ches, on Nun Zayin Amud Beis at the bottom, right, with a quote from the Mishnah. Nafal Legina, right by the two dots. Venenes, Venenes, Mishlemes, Mashenenes. And if you remember back to the beginning of the parak, right, first Mishnah on the parak, on Nun Hei Amud Beis. Right, we had said that the animal falls into the guy's garden, right? So you pay mashenenis, and probably if you, the shearer that you were listening to probably helped you define that. Depending if it ate it, right? So then it's, you have to pay, right, mashenenis, right? Usually when we say mashenenis, it means the cheapest animal type of food. And if it was saved, let's say it fell from a, you know, from something on top, and it, the produce softened the blow and saved the animal from either getting hurt or getting killed or whatever, so then you have to pay the amount of money it would cost for, like, you know, soft tufts of wool or cushions or whatever it is. So either way, you're going to pay mashenenis, and you're not going to pay for the, any, that's less, the assumption being is that's less than what you would pay for damages. So Amar Rav, Rav says back in the Gemara, right, in the Gemara, bet nechbeta, right, that is only if the animal got hit, right, or hit the produce as it was falling, right, and obviously destroyed the produce. Aval achla, but if the animal ate the produce, so then afilu mashenenis and mishalemis, and then it doesn't even have to pay what it benefited from, then you're totally, right, you're totally potter. I mean, obviously it doesn't mean, right, no, I was like, oh, fine. So, lema rav l'tameh, maybe this is Rav's shita. The Amar Rav, let's just go by there. Yeah, the Amar Rav, Rav says, hayalo shalo tochal. Again, maybe this is Rav's shita, hayalo shalo tochal. Right, if you remember that we quoted the Mishnah about a week ago, about 10 days ago, that basically says that if you bring your produce into someone else's chater, right, so, and the animal, that person's animal gets damaged by that produce, so then you have to pay for it. Rav says that's only, right, if the animal fell, but if it ate the produce, you could say to the guy, hayalo shalo tochal, what do you mean? I left my grain in your backyard, why did your animal come and eat my grain, right? Your animal shouldn't have eaten it. If it got damaged, if it got sick, if it got, you know, killed by that, whatever, so then maybe you should have not had the animal eat from it. So what maybe we're saying over here also, that Rav can say, right, the animal the owner of the animal should not have eaten it. The animal itself should not have eaten it, right? And maybe the animal should not be chayev for the eating in the garden, and because it's the animal, right? The animal is the one who's doing the eating, and not the owner, right? Is not b'chal shayech at all. So then the Gemara says, one second, hold on, sorry, yeah, so Gamri, they said, what do you mean, that's not comparable at all, right, Emer, the Rav Hossam, the Amar Rav Hossam, Haile Shalul Tochal, what kind of argument is the animal shouldn't have eaten, that's Hechad, it's because it's Zakah Heat, right, that's only if the animal got damaged, right, the animal itself got damaged, so the guy who brought the produce in doesn't have to pay for the damaged animal. But the matzi, because the matzi amalei, because you could say mari depri lo mishalman alei havalei shlo tochal, meaning that you shouldn't have let your animal eat from the produce they left in your backyard. Right, the animal shouldn't have eaten. Right, it. So I'm not going to be chayav for your animal's damage. The damage, meaning when the animal is damaged. But lazuke hi achrini. But for the animal to damage someone else, and therefore the material, the shlumei, you should say, me, Amar, that doesn't make any sense. Right? Why should the guy be able to say, well, my animal shouldn't have eaten, so therefore I'm not going to pay for your damages? What do you mean? That doesn't get you out of your animal eating something. Right? Obviously, if it's gonna eat the produce, right, I have to guard it. Now, obviously, if it's an onus, right, so then you could say, but lechora, over here, right, again, why in the world should we say that the guy is going to be potter, right, if the animal ate, right, you get your animal out of there. So the Gemara says, Elam lomi baya gomer. What it means is lomi baya. It means lomi baya akhla de mishalem and mashen. And it's definitely, definitely, I mean, Rav is not trying to say, right, that he does not have to pay if the animal ate, right? Lomi baya akhla. I mean, you don't have to tell me that if the animal ate the produce, then it's going to be chayiv, right? Obviously, you got to pay your mashenenis, right, from the cheapest type of food. If you look at Rashi again, just right, I forgot the little pasha b'shmirasa d'hanenis, right? For sure, even though there's no pshia here, right? There's no pshia here, and there's no negligence here by the damage by the guardian of the animal. It was an accident that fell into the thing, and then it ate the food. But you still pay mashenenis. Aval nechbeta, but if it fell and it was saved by like the produce, by the lettuce, whatever, but it didn't hit the ground, hit the lettuce. Maybe we should apply the concept of mavriach ari, that a person is chasing, literally means chasing away a lion from someone's possessions. What is that? So Rashi says, Basically, that there's a concept, and we'll explain it to us in a second, right, that if a person sees a lion coming towards someone else, towards someone else's property, and he chases the lion away, that's a mitzvah, right? That's a mitzvah. You're doing a mitzvah. You're saving your friend's, you know, rishus or property or possessions or whatever, and that's a mitzvah. You're not allowed to exact payment for that. If you look at Rashi Ema, right, just to skip the first line over here, the second one, Shehidzu behemas chavero shelo nechpeta bekarga umitzahu de'avid, right, umidilo lishko, right, and since you're doing a mitzvah, right, you're not going to have to, you're not going to be able to charge payment for that, right? If you chase the lion away, then you're not allowed to ask for money, and so too over here, you might have thought, since your lettuce is saving the sheep, I don't know, from getting killed, so you might have thought, mashinenes nami lo mishalim, that the animal, you're not going to have to pay, even for what the animal benefited from, so therefore, kamash malan, so Rav says that you are going to have to pay. So let's just finish up a little bit, and we'll quote those over here. Vema hachanami, but one second, maybe hachanami, maybe he should be pater. I mean, where did Rav get that from? I mean, the Mishnah doesn't say that. The Gemara says, that's only midaito, right? That's only when the person does it, right? When he takes his stick, he chases away the lion, I don't know, shoots it, whatever it is. Hailav midaito, that's only if you do it on purpose. But hailav midaito, this case is where it wasn't midaito, where you didn't know anything, right? The guy's sitting in his kitchen, sipping coffee, he has no idea what's going on. Okay, his lettuce saves the animal from dying, but he didn't do it on purpose. Inami, or another answer, when you chase away a lion, so you're not losing anything by that, maybe a little terrifying, you're not losing any money from that. So here, hi, Islip Seda, here, the guy's getting damaged, he's losing lettuce or whatever, right? He's suffering some sort of loss in his property. So therefore, in that case, right, we're not going to say that he's going to be potter. Tosas over here just qualifies. If you look at basically, it's a long Tosas, obviously not going to be the whole thing, but just to look at, basically across the side in the skinny lines, he says, Vekeven de Ikatarti, right, just clarifies based on Sugi quotes in the Nadarim, Vekeven de Ikatarti, right, Shalom Midaito, Vislep Seda, Lo Chashev Mavriachari, meaning he says you need both, that there's no loss and he did it on purpose, right, in that case, it's not going to be considered to be Mavriachari in that case. But if it was Midaito, meaning we need both of them to not invoke the principle, right, of Mavriya Chari. But if it was Midaito, he did it on purpose, right, even I feel if Islay Pseida, right, if he did it on purpose, even if he has a loss, right, Shalom Midaito, or he didn't do it on purpose for Leslo Pseida and he has no Pseida, so then in that case, Chashem Mavriya Chari, Vein Nosen Lo, right, if he was Chara. Okay, fine, you can check out that long Tosos over there. Okay. Back to the Gemara. Says the Gemara now. One second. Sorry, where am I? Back in the Gemara. Okay. How did he sit? So Gemara says, Hechi nafal. So Gemara says, one second. How did he, how did it fall? I mean, in what scenario did the animal fall? Again, if you're talking about it fell into the guy's garden. So Rav Kana Amar, Rav Kana says, right, Shehuchaka b'meir aglea, right, it slipped on its urine. And Rava Amar, Shedachfasa chaverta, when another animal shoved it in. Mandamarda, Dachfasa chaverta, Kolshikin Shehuchata b'meir aglea. According to the one who says the animal pushed it. So certainly, obviously, in the case where it slipped on its urine, so then, you know, that's obviously more of an ones, right? So we're also going to apply this concept. You're only going to play mashnanes. But the one who says it slipped on its urine, right, that's going to be an ones. But if the animal got shoved by another one, then pshia, that's a pshia or pasha. Then you have to pay the amount of damages, which is obviously more than mashnanes. The Gemara says, why is that? So because you could have said, you could have just, you know, kind of when you're passing by this, you know, if you can imagine, it's probably not every case is like that. Imagine a treacherous mountain cliff with a one-by-one passing, right, lane or whatever, that you can only get one animal through or something, and he pushed two animals through, and one of them, sure enough, knocked the other one into the guy's garden. Should have been able to see that, right? That's not considered to be an onus. Amar Rav Kana, Rav Kana says, Lo shanu ela ba'osa aruga. Now, when you said that the animal eats the stuff in the garden, so then you're going to pay mashenenis and not the nezikin. So Rav Kana says that's only, right, in that aruga, in that food, in that vegetable bed where the animal fell into. Of my aruga la aruga meshlamas mashazika. But if it already starts moving to another bed, animal bed, vegetable patch, or whatever, then you have to pay mashazika. You have to pay for the damages. Rabbi Yochanan says no. I feel my aruga la aruga. Right, even from one to the next, right? Feel kol yom kulo agitasi v'taksar ludas. Right, even all day, right? If it goes from one, you know, vegetable patch to the other, right? And you're only going to pay mashinenis until, right, he comes back, right? Until the animal leaves and then comes back, right, with the owner knowing about it. At that point, obviously, then you have to keep your animal out of the guy's backyard. Amar Papa, Rav Papa says, "Lo teme ashatitze ladas v'tachzor ladas, elakim shiyotz ladas." Meaning, you don't need the animal to go out and then come back for the fact that the owner knew about it, but you just need the owner to know that the animal left. Right? Even if the animal went back without the animal, the guy knowing, so then he's still going to be chayef. So Gemara says, "My time." And why is that? Because he could argue, "Kaven di yolfa kol imis de mishtatma di mishtamta lahasam rata." Right? Once the owner knows that the animal knows that there's food there, so he has to guard it against going. You have to guard it even better because the animal knows there's, you know, some good food there, and you have to make sure the animal doesn't get back. Right? Once the owner knows that it left and the animal was excited about that food, so then you have to guard it, right, and make sure it doesn't go back anyway. Okay, good. Said the Mishnah, Yordel Kedarka Vehizika Mishalamish Mashizika. If the animal kind of just walked down into the garden, right, and did damages, so then you have to pay, obviously, Mashizika. You have to pay for the damages. But Rabbi Yirmiya, Yordel Kedarka Vehizika B'mei Leda Mahu. Let's say the animal didn't damage it through, let's say, eating or stepping on it or whatever, but it went down and damaged it with its, I don't know, placenta or whatever, the stuff that came out when it gave birth. So Kumar says, Alibi the Madam Ratichli Lasub Shivasov Onayas Chayef. Meaning the animal didn't do anything in the garden except for give birth. Right? It didn't step on food, it didn't eat food, right? It just gave birth. And that's what actually did the damage. So the Shaila is, again, the beginning is Pshia, right? We had this concept several times before. According to the one who says that Tchilas of Pshia was over Ones, right? The beginning of the whole story where the guy was negligent. And then at the end, right, it was an Ones, really he didn't damage with his feet or its teeth. But it was an ones, right? You're going to give birth. That's not something you can predict or whatever. So that's going to be an ones. According to the one who says, in that case, you would be chayef. So that's a low tibay lecha. Obviously, he's going to be chayef. Ki tibay lecha, the shayla is, alibu d'man d'amr t'chalas v'mashir b'sof v'ones, potter. According to the man d'amr who says that if you started off the whole story with negligence and then it ended up being an ones, right, you're potter. Are you also potter over here? My, what's the din? Mi amrina, do we say, kevin t'chalas v'mashir b'sof v'ones, potter? Do we say that, yes, this is exactly a case of that? Or Dilma, maybe it's not really an ones because animals don't just give birth without warning, right? But because maybe haka kula pshiahu, maybe this is entirely pshiah, because they gave him the kachazi, the crave le mialed, so they ibaile le nture. Right, so since you see the animal is very pregnant, right, could give birth any moment, I should have watched it, ulas damure begava, I should have been, you know, watched after it and been careful. Skomar says, take you, right, we don't have an answer for that. Okay. Keita Mishlanish Pasha Zika, Mishnah said, how do you pay for what it damaged? How do you calculate the damages of the animal? Again, we say the animal damaged like a little small part of the vegetable patch, but we don't just cheshbon it out on its own, right? We use what's called a base saw, and we mount how much, right, a base saw would cost before the damage, how much a base saw would cost after the damage, and that's how much he has to pay. So the Gemara says, money immediately. Where do you get that from? How do you figure out that that's how you should judge the damage in the field? So Rav Masna says, Damar Kral, Pasuk says, Bir b'steyacher. Pasuk we've quoted before. Pasuk that teaches me, as you probably remember, that a person, that Shane and Regal have to be in b'steyacher, in someone else's reshus, and rather than reshus and the nizak, in the damaged field, damaged party's field. But we use it to teach us over here, right, that the malamit sheshamin agav sadeyacher, that you evaluate it based on another field, i.e. based on a field that is a base. So Gemara says, "Hi, Obiya b'steir acher, the mebayi lefuke shushur abim." But didn't we say again, as we just pointed out, that's to exclude Shane and Regal from shushur abim, has to be in the rushus hanizak. So Gemara says, "Imkain, if that was true, luchta v'chmana ubiyer b'steir chavero." Right? What's b'steir acher? Right? It should have said in his friend's field. Inami steir acher, or should have said field of someone else. My b'steir acher. What do you mean in the field of someone else? So shaman al gab steir acher. Again, we have both drushas for that. Well, how do you know the beer? Now we say on beer is the by Shane and Regal. How do you know that that's talking about that? Maybe lafuga rishis rabbi minalan. Maybe that this is coming. That beer is the teaches me this is how you evaluate the field. How do you know that Shane and Regal are included in this drusha as well, given that they're totally not related to each other? Kama says, imkain lichtei rachmana gavi tashlumer. Because if it was true that it was only coming to teach me how you evaluate this type of damage, you would have written it in another context. It would have said, "Metav sadeu, metav karmo yishalem b'steacher." Right? You said that you should pay, right, and evaluate someone else's field. Right? You have to pay in some other's field. Why would you teach that whole pasuk by damages by beer that it eats. So Gemara says, Shmami Natarti, apparently, right, we're teaching us both. Fine. So Gemara says, now the details. Heichi Shaiminan, how do you evaluate? And this, again, being, I don't know, limited in business or not really having a head for business definitely limits my understanding over here, but we definitely will try and explain it as best as we can. So Gemara says, Heichi Shaiminan, how do you evaluate, right, these damages over here within a base saw? So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, saw b'shishim saw, right, we evaluate a base saw within 60 saw. Meaning there are two things that you have to do. First of all, right, you have to figure out what a 60th of 60 base saw is. Right, obviously, now again, because you could sell a base saw by itself, and you could sell a base saw within a sale of 60 base saw. Right, so let's say a field of 60 base saw. Let's say the field costs just for round numbers $600,000, or what's that, $60,000. So obviously, in that case, a base saw would be $1,000 if there's 60 of them. Right, but by the base saw by itself, if that's one, right, one individual field, right, that would very often, let's say, perhaps be more expensive. So we evaluate within relation to a 60 base saw. Rabbi Yane Amar, Rabbi Yane says half of that. Tarkov b'shishim tarkovim. Tarkov is half of that, so it's 30, right? A tarkov in 30,000, and well, not $30,000, but 30 base saw. Chizki Amar Chizki, it says klach b'shishim klachim, right? That we take a klach, which is literally means a stalk, but we don't evaluate based on the base saw, but we take you take whatever is damaged and multiply that by 60, and however much that would work, that would cost, right, you obviously divide that then again by 1/60th. Okay, fine. So different ways to do the calculations. Maybe we ask the following kasha. One second. The price says, right, if a person ate a cow, an animal ate a cow or two cows of stuff, you don't say to pay the value of the stuff. Right, we view as if the produce that was eaten, as if it's grows out of a small piece of ground, piece of land, right? And you do the cheshbon based on that, how much that would cost. The Gemara says, "My love b'fnas," but doesn't that seem to imply that you evaluate the vegetable patch or whatever on its own? The Gemara says, "Lo b'shishim." No, with however you understand, right? With it, Rabbi Yana, Chizkia, right, or Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina. So either way, however you would calculate that, it's based on 1/60th. Okay, Tanur Rabbanan. They taught us in a brisa, really a little bit of a weird brisa. I have different ways to understand it. Ein shom kav mipnei shemashbicho, v'lo base kor mipnei shapogmo. We don't evaluate a kav. A kav is an amount of produce, because mashbicho, it makes him more shevach, more better off monetarily wise. V'lo base kor mipnei shapogmo, and we don't evaluate a base kor, which is also a size of a field, not a size of produce, but a size of a field. Because Mipnesha Pogmo, because it's pogame him, because it damages him. Now, what in the world? My Kamar, the Gemara says, what in the world is going on in this price? So Amar Papa, Papa says, Hachi Kamar, this is what we mean to say. Ein shaman kav b'shishim kavim, Mipnesha mashbiach mazik. We don't evaluate a kav in 60 kavs. Let's say someone damages a kav of produce. If you don't evaluate the kav in terms of 60 kav, meaning 1 to 1/60th, because it is mashbiach, the mazik. The mazik is the damager. Now, what does that mean? Meaning, if you look at it, slide over to Rashi. Im achla kav, first of all, ein shaman kav b'shishim kavim, like smack middle of the daf. Rashi says, if you don't evaluate a kav with 60 kavs, why? Im achla kav, if the animal ate a kav, ein shaman b'shishim kavim. We don't say, right, how much would 60 kav be, and then take 1/60th of that. Why? Mazik, because the damager gains. Why? The shishim kavim, right, because 60 kav, ein lahem mecher. There's no way for you to sell 60 kav mitnishim rubenhin, because it's too much la'ani, it's too much for ani, umuotim la'benani, but it's apparently it's too small for a medium-sized businessman. And it's too much for a poor person, but it's too little for a businessman, so therefore nobody's going to buy it. And koshikin la'asher, it's certainly too small for someone who's wealthy. V'ocha in karachas kav, right, nikeres b'shishim kavim. And also, if you take a kav out of 60 kav, right, so it's not, you don't even recognize it, right? If you take away, let's say, a small patch of vegetables or whatever, and so that's not going to be recognizable. So that's going to benefit, right, the damager, because the guy's damaging, right? Because it's going to be much smaller. I mean, it's going to be a much smaller amount of money because there is nobody who's going to buy it. So therefore, we don't do that. We don't use that evaluation because the mazik, the damager, is going to pay much less than it's actually worth. Velo, and then back in the Gemara, velo kor b'shishim korim. We also don't evaluate a kor, right? A kor responding to 60 kor. They should pogim mazik because now the damager is paying too much. And again, if you look at Rashi, they should pogim velo kor b'shishim korim. Right? Achla kor tivua. If the animal ate a kor, which is a ton, right? Of tivua. Ein shamar sab b'shishim korim. You don't make it 1/60th of 60 kor. They should pogim mazik. Why? Because now the guy's going to pay too much. Why? Because a guy who's a real estate broker, and wants to buy a really big plot, because it's going to pay way more than it's worth, because it's very rare for a piece of land that big to come on the market. So therefore, it's going to be too much. I mean, it's going to be so valuable, people are going to jump at the opportunity to purchase this. So if you evaluate it in relation to 60 kor, so then, right, then that guy's going to pay way too much. So we don't do that. How then do you evaluate it? So you evaluate it based on sa'ah. Based on a sa'ah, as Rashi says, end of the Rashi, ela kol sa'ah shaman b'shishim. You take every amount of sa'ah, you evaluate by shishim. So a kor is 30 sa'ah. So basically, you cheshbon out how much 30 sa'ah damage would come out of a 60 sa'ah field, which is like half the field, etc. Okay, so maskev la Rav Huna bar Manoach. Rav Huna bar Manoach said, what do you mean? If you look at the Braisa, go back to the Braisa. The Braisa said, right, we don't evaluate a kav, right? And we don't, a low base core, and not a base core. A kav is the amount of produce, as we mentioned. A base core is an amount of land. Right? So Huna bar Manoach said, what's going on over here? I have a low base core, but low core me boile. I should have said either kav and core, or base kav and base core. Really, according to, what's it called? According to Rav Papa, it should have been a kav and a kor. Why does it say a kav and a base kor? Right, that seems to be, on the one hand, right, kav is a produce value amount, and a base kor is an amount of land. So Rav Huna bar Manoach understands differently. Right, Elamar Rav Huna bar Manoach, Meshmeid Rav Acha Bered Ravika, Harikat. This is what we mean to say. Ein shaman kav v'pnei atzmo v'pnei shem mashbiach nizak. We don't evaluate a kav because the nizak. Meaning when we say a kav, again, we say we don't evaluate it, what's it called, on its own, right? If it was as part of a big field of kavim, right, so then the guy's going to have to pay too much. And velo kav base core, and we also don't evaluate a kav, right, related to a base core, because then the damaged party, meaning the nizak, guy who got damaged, is going to lose out, because again we said that you can't not that meaning once you're evaluated based on a big field, you don't want to make it the size of the base core, because a kav in a base core is barely noticeable. You can't even notice it so much if it's a really small amount. So therefore, it is going to pay too little. So Ella, rather, how do you evaluate it? Bashishim, where you can evaluate it again based on 60 times the amount of food that was damaged. So you take it, basically, you relate it to a field that can produce 60 kav, right? And then you take 1/60th of that value, and that's how much you would have to pay. Okay, this is a little bit early to stop, but this story kind of goes on to Amud Aleph. I know, obviously, there are Magid Yashir who probably finished the whole story and go, let's say, 10, 15 lines down onto Amud Aleph, but all right, we're gonna stop here by, we'll stop here by Hugavra, by that little story. We'll stop here, and we'll pick it up tomorrow, and we'll get to the Mishnah Mitzvah Shem right on Nun Testament Bays, and it'll be fine, and it'll even out. Have a great day or night, depending on when you're listening to this.